not one other tradition around here. Not only do we say, I love you, there's nothing you can do about it. When those kind of moments come, we just have to give somebody a Holy Ghost high five. Now, if you don't know how to do that, you can't just go high five. No, you got to go, woo, okay? Come on, give somebody a Holy Ghost high five. Woo, come on, Holly, woo. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, you guys are really into it, man. Look at that. They're high-fiving all over the place. It's great. Hi, Creed. Great to see all you guys today. I'm holding a little baby bottle, and years we've done this with the Cornerstone Pregnancy Center, or Cornerstone for Women Pregnancy Center. What a great ministry. Oh, my gosh. They're doing a great job. And they actually have a mobile RV that travels the region and gives free, sonograms to girls and pregnancy tests. And they park like in neighborhoods and around schools and just doing a great, great work. And every year, we like to take these bottles and fill them up with our change. So on the way out today, please stop by the display. Betty, you've done a great job again putting it together. And fill this up with your change and then bring it back. Now, if some of you don't like change, fill it up with the paper. It's fine. Not newspaper. Dollar. No, not dollars. Tens, twenties, whatever. Okay? Can I give this to you, Lowell? You can't cut that? All right. Amen. And is that on?
I don't know.
Okay. Do we have a... Do we have like a wireless mic rather than a wired mic? Is that a possibility?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, okay. Let's see. Nope, it's not working. Oh, you're bringing one. Okay, they're coming. They're coming with one. I just wanted to let you know while we're getting the mic ready. This is, I think, the first time, I don't know, that we've ever done this.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
You're so handsome. And he's got such a gentle, quiet spirit, and he's anointed. Amen. You are, man. You are. I love it. And he's running off the stage.
His name even means anointed.
Chris, yeah, anointed one, you know. But T and I wanted to share the pulpit together, and I'm going to do my best not to talk too much this service. And just really kind of share truth with you that I think is real important. But before we do, I want to tell you a little joke. And it's probably not that funny, but here goes anyway. A mother was preparing pancakes for her two sons. Kevin was 5 and Ryan was 3. And you know how little boys, you know, do. They get arguing who's going to get the first pancake. And they're fighting back and forth. And the mother thought, this is a good opportunity to teach a moral lesson to my kids. She said, boys, stop it. Now, you know if Jesus was sitting at this table, he would let his brother go first. So the older boy kind of perked up, the 5-year-old, and he looked at the 3-year-old brother and he said, Ryan, I want you to play the part of Jesus this morning. I told you it wasn't all that funny, but anyway. But you know, mothers, when we start thinking about Mother's Day, I have to tell you that my mother taught me a lot. She wasn't really an educated person, grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania, immigrated here from Hungary, milked, I heard it all my life. Well, I milked 24 cows every morning and 24 cows at night. Only had a 5th grade education, but was a hardworking person, a moral person, had great integrity, and taught me so much. And your mom taught you a lot of things as well. So what were some
of
those things?
My mom taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she said, you better pray this juice comes out of the carpet.
See, that's... I don't know about you, but your mother will teach you things you didn't even know you were learning. Like my mother, she taught me on irony. Irony. She said, keep on laughing, and I'm going to give you something to cry about. How many relate with that? Yeah. Okay.
My mother taught me foresight. She said, What did she say?
Make sure.
My husband wrote this for me, so here we go. I get my glasses on. Make sure you wear clean underwear because you never know if you're going to have an accident.
Did anybody's mother ever really tell you that? All of our mothers told her. Mom, thank you. My mom would be proud today. Well, my mother taught me the circle of life. The circle of life. She said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. How many of you ever heard that before? Look at you moms are all the same.
My mother taught me about weather. She said that it looks like a tornado has swept through this room.
You know, when I first met my wife, she has 10 brothers and sisters, and I just had my brother and I. And my mother was very meticulous in her housekeeping. She even ironed our underwear, our t-shirts, and folded them. And she would put the towels on the shelf. It looked like JCPenney. I mean, it was all fronted, and they were all... And it was amazing when I got to her house and went to her bedroom for the very first time, just peeked in, didn't go in, peeked in. I thought, how do you live like that?
Well, there's hope for mothers because you can change.
That's right.
Right?
Now Tina irons all my underwear and she pulls it.
Not that much change.
Yeah, there's a God, but he ain't that big, is he? But we want to talk to you a little bit about the heart and how important it is, the heart of a mother. And if you'd understand that just for a moment, the heart is what brings you into a place of victory, not your mind. And we have some insight on that. I think that will help us all today. Do you know?
We're talking about a mother, or you know, this isn't just about a mother, but the nurturing aspect of a mother. The strong heart of a mother, the greatest gift that you can give to your child is the gift of laughter. It's the gift of peace. It's the gift of gladness and happiness. And to be able to impart that, you know, Hallmark has been doing a lot of advertising, you know, up to this day about, you know, cards that should go out. But they had a variety of ladies in different ages and different backgrounds, and they would come in and make comments like, tell me. You know, it was just tell me. And so we need to have a revolution with our words and how we speak and what we say to people. Tell me that I'm a good mother. Tell me that I've worked hard to raise this child. Tell me that you appreciate me going to work every day. Tell me that, you know, it just went on and on. And I thought, wow, as the body of Christ, we need to tell each other. We need to speak the things that we think, we feel it, but we don't say it enough. And how it, actually this morning when I came in, I talked with one of the ladies, and she said, my daughter texted me this morning and said, Happy Mother's Day. I love you, not just very, I mean, just the little word she put, I love you very much. She goes, that's not like my daughter on a text, especially, you know, not so much words. And she said, it meant so much to me. And then so she texted her back, and her daughter said, well, I learned it all from you, you know, that she was a great mother now. And it meant so much to this lady that her daughter said those things to her. And it's wonderful that it happens on Mother's Day, but just think if it's a flowing of words every single day. So life is supposed to be a special occasion every day. We celebrate life. We celebrate one another. So tell me, you know, when we're going to get into a little bit of our message, I want you to remember ATM. We can all think about our ATMs because you might have to visit there.
It's where we get the money, right? ATMs.
Right, where we get the money. And I want to use that as assignment. For the A, T for our tools, and M for our methods. We are all different, and God is using us all different ways. We are all as significant as mothers as the next person. We just have the different assignment, tools, and methods. And so we're going to cover that a little bit and how important it is, the strong heart. I want to share one scripture from Proverbs 31 woman. It wouldn't be Mother's Day if we didn't at least bring up one scripture. And it's verse 25 of chapter 31. It says, strength in Amplified Bible. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong. Her heart position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future and the latter days, and for her family in the time to come, and for her and her family, she is making them ready. She's getting them for readiness, not only for When these children grow up, to have a strong heart, to know how to love, to know how to be peaceful, to know how to be happy and take life understanding that we don't belong here anyway, so not to take it so serious. And so when that mother creates that strong heart, she is preparing her not only for the second coming of the Lord, but she is preparing her to have peace and spread peace to her children, spread happiness to her children.
There's a woman in the Bible, they really refer to her as the woman from Canaan. It's in Matthew 15, and so she doesn't even have a first name. She's just from a region. So it's like saying, well, here's, I want to introduce to you this woman from Lorraine or this woman from Cleveland. But she had this strong, nurturing instinct, and it was so strong that she brought her demon-possessed daughter to Jesus, and Jesus didn't receive her. Now, it doesn't sound like the Jesus you and I know, because he began to disclose to her that she wasn't privileged enough to receive anything from him because she was a Gentile, and that his ministry was to the Jew. But her heart was so set on healing and deliverance for her daughter, and her instinct to preserve and to nurture was so powerful, she was able to overcome all kinds of resistance. And I think that's what Tina and I are talking about today. Moms, if we can encourage you not to raise or nurture your children from your head, but to get in touch with your heart so that you can hear the quiet, sensitive voice that maybe your mind won't agree with, but down in your heart, you know it's right. And we'll look at some of those points of how she overcame all kinds of adversity.
You know, one of my favorite scriptures right now, I switch off all the time, is Proverbs 15:15, and it says in the Amplified, "All the days of the desponding and the afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and foreboding." When we have anxious thoughts, and when we are desponding and afflicted, it makes us have thoughts that are evil, actually. And we're allowing that to take place in our brain. But he who has a glad heart or a happy heart has a continual feast regardless of the circumstances. Those that are able to have that strong heart, regardless of the circumstances, they understand the truth of God's word. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. No circumstance can separate us from the love of God. When we can capture that, hold on to that, when the storms of life come, and they come. Some people sitting here today are going through the storms of life. We can have a continual feast no matter what. I was telling my husband on the way here, my cortisol has not stopped doing what it's doing, because we moved this week, and you know, with a move, there's a lot of stress, physical energy, and can't find things and all that stuff. So I didn't sleep very well last night because I couldn't turn off this brain. And so I'm preaching to myself as far as a heart peace, you know, all that kind of stuff, and to settle down. Because when you can't turn off your brain, you have this revved up pattern. And people today are living with that. They're not able to turn off their mind. They're not able to turn off the stress. And it's causing so much disease and pain and strife and in relationships. They're not who they really are. They're not able to even be themselves when this is revved up like mm-hmm. that because of mm-hmm. the stress level that's going on. But the continual feasts are for those that understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's unfortunate, but the statistics prove that more women are depressed than men are. And why is that? We don't know what to do with that stress level. So the antidote for that is the truth. It's the truth, understanding the truth. The truth of God's word is our candy. It's our strength. It's our response. It's our ability to rejoice and stay in that love mode and stay in that peace mode regardless of the circumstances. So that's what we're going to try to introduce today, because all the toxins that come in through our brain, our heart has to filter that. We have to listen to our heart, and we have to replace the toxins with the truth. Psychologists today are saying, they use the term stuffing. We are able to stuff our emotions down, and if we don't deal with it, it's going to come out. If it comes out in a minute, if it comes out in a year, if it comes out 10 years later, it's going to come out. And a strong-hearted mother is able to say, you know, get your feelings out. I'm going to show you how to do it, because that's what raising children is. It's about training, right? So they're going to act up, and we show them how to act right. And so while they're acting up, you say, okay, I know you're angry. I know you're hurt. I know you're ready to kill somebody. Tell me about it, and let's deal with it. Let's respond in the right way. Because if they aren't taught to do that when they're little, if you tell them to shut up and obey because I said so, what's going to happen?
Or I brought you in this world.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, and I'll take you out. Someday, that's coming out. And that's why we see so many children in the state that they're in today as grown men and grown women in the relationships that aren't able to make it. You know, we have a choice, and that's what we're talking about, replacing the toxins with the truth.
That evil thought. You know, that scripture in Proverbs 15:15, the word foreboding, when you look at the root of that word, you can also use the word brooding. And if you go back into Genesis, the Holy Spirit was brooding over the earth. There was chaos, there was darkness, there was nothing formed. And when you take a despondency and affliction that is made evil or anxious thoughts, and you have this brooding over it, it literally has the connotation, understanding from the root word, to bring to life. So it's as if a mother hen is sitting on this egg of evil, because we are forebrooding, or we are bringing to life this evil, and we literally hatch it, and now we are attached to it. Now it lives with us, depends on us for its very life. So if we don't replace those anxious thoughts in our mind with what we know is true in our hearts, we are going to constantly give birth to repeated evil. And these are like pictures or scenarios that are replayed in our minds and challenge God's word when the Holy Spirit comes to us to show us a way out of a situation. They're replayed in vivid color on a huge screen of what we brought to life because we were brooding over this evil thing. This woman from Canaan is a great example, because she had to break through barriers. She came as a woman to a rabbi. She came as a Gentile to a Jew. She had to fight through his entourage of all of his disciples. And she went on behalf of her daughter. But the barriers were amazing, because this woman of Canaan pushed through this mountain of inferiority, because society said she was inferior to that people group. She was also inferior because she was a woman. But she pushed through her inferiority because there was something greater in her heart. She was listening to her heart and not processing circumstances through her mind. And the Bible says in verse 22 of that particular text in Matthew 15, she also broke through a wall of diversity. There was segregation live and well in Israel. If you weren't a Jew, you didn't associate with Jews. And this woman was from a very bad part of town. She was from Tyre. She was from a region that had demon-possessed lifestyles. She was bringing her daughter to Jesus, and he even spoke to her and called her a little dog. Now, we'll look at a couple of these things that helped her break through some of these circumstantial thoughts that come into our mind that steal away our ability to have the victory. But she had to break through the wall of diversity. And look, if the Bible doesn't even know your name, calls you a woman from Canaan, she had to break through anonymity. She had to break through that nobody knows me here. I don't have any connections here. There's nobody that can go to Jesus and give me a good word. As a matter of fact, the disciples said, send her away. But she had to stand her ground in what she knew in her heart was right. Moms, there are times in your life when you've got to stand your ground for what you know is right in your heart. It may not make sense in your mind, but you're not backing down because you're not a person given to hatching evil, but only the truth.
I know that we are in a room filled with women like that. Strong Amen. Heart, fighters, love God's word, know the truth, and are going to stand up for the truth no matter what. She was awesome. You know, the one scripture, I want to save that scripture for later, but we have to be able to identify the lies, first of all. And we have to replace the lies and put them with the truth. We've got to change our attitude.
Charles Swindoll,
Swindoll's
right?
book, Strengthening Your Grip. He made this comment, and it's called The Power of an Attitude. Words can never adequately convey the incredible impact on our attitudes have toward life. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. I believe the single most significant discovery I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It's more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes, my failures, my fame, or my pain. Circumstances or position, attitude keeps me going or it cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitude is right, there is no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me. If we live by 10% of what's really happening, what's really going on, and 90% is what's going on in our head, we have a choice that we can change our attitude every day, every moment. I saw a little sign shopping with one of our Joshua teens, and it said that the best second of the best minute of the best hour of the best day for the rest of my life. We have to break it down for the best second even of our day when we are trying to discipline our minds. The Bible says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Feelings come from here. Feelings will say, oh, can't do this today. I don't have the ability to do this today. I don't want to do this today. You know, our feelings will mess with us all the time. But the whispers of our heart is what we have to be in tune with. No matter what the attitude, the toxins have to be replaced with the truth. And the way that we do that, the antidote for that, is to understand the love of God. He is the Prince of Peace. He has died for us. He has taken our sins away from us. He has covered the heaviness that sin brings. And that foreboding that he was talking about is that heaviness that's going on in our thinking. And we are actually violating Scripture when we allow that heaviness to linger in our mind, because he said, cast your cares upon me. And so the way we do that, the antidote for that is to walk in the love life that God has for us. Understand that he loves me, that he wants to give me his fruit. You know, so long in my Christian life, I looked at his fruit as like, okay, I got to work this love thing, this joy, this peace, this patience. I got to work the fruit because my religious background taught me as a Catholic, I got to work this, right? And so I was working even the fruit. But the scripture says, ask for the fruit. Enjoy the fruit. Lord, give me the fruit. Thank you for the fruit today. We have fruit this morning, and I just partake of it. I just eat it. That's God's gift to us. We eat his fruit. We don't work for it. Even that, it's the eating of the fruit. So it's the changing of the mind to replace the toxins with the truth. And this is something I wrote down because it's really important. It takes intense, consistent effort, time, and energy to apply God's truth to life's lies. You know, even if we aren't Christians, life lies to us. The prince and the power of the air is over this world and is lying to us that I have to fend for myself. I have to take this to get that. The lies of the enemy come in. And we believe not only the enemy's lies, but life's lies in general. And it's going to take intentional, consistent effort, time, and energy to apply God's truth to life's lies. You know, from the time I was a baby Christian, that was almost 39 years ago, I started putting scriptures in my pocket to meditate on the scripture. And this was my scripture today in my pocket. I know I'm old school. It should be on my telephone. But I have notes everywhere. My daughter's like, April doesn't laugh at me. She's here, so I have to say
that. I put mine in my iPhone.
Yeah. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad.
You know, this woman in this Matthew 15 account, she was motivated by relationships. If you look at the text in verse 22, it says, my daughter is demon-possessed. All of the life lies that were coming at her couldn't overcome or overpower what she knew was in her heart. My daughter. Because the love in her heart was more powerful than the fear in her thoughts or the shame or the hardship or the resistance of circumstances. Remember, they said, look, you are inferior. She goes, well, you may say that, but I'm going to speak the truth to that life lie. I am not inferior. I was created in the image of God. God loved me before I was even formed in my mother's womb. Onward and onward. She had to tell the truth to the life lies. And no matter where we come from in life, maybe you come from a different status economically, or maybe ethnically somebody has told you a lie, or maybe because of your gender, or maybe because of your past and failures and mistakes, people say now you're not qualified and you're inferior. See, if we begin to receive that and begin to brood over that, we're going to hatch that evil, and it becomes what we have to now nurture and feed to keep alive. But we refuse to do that, like this woman, because she said, I know you're the son of David. Matter of fact, can we put that scripture up, please? Look at verse 22. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. She said, I know who you are. You're the son of David. And I know because you're the son of David, you can heal my daughter. Yeah, woman, but listen, you're a Gentile. You're a woman. You don't even have a name. She said, look, I don't know about all that, but I know down in here, you're the son of David, and my daughter needs a healing. And I'm going to hold on to that down inside of me, because I'm in relationship with this girl, and I'm an assignment. And I'm using the tools that I have, and my method is to get up in your face. Because I need a miracle. Amen? Now, this is a cool verse in verse 23. And this is when I start talking a lot. And I'll try not to.
Okay.
Somebody should time how many minutes each of us get. Anyway, verse 23. Look at it. He answered her not a word. Can you imagine this? Did you ever go up to somebody and ask them something? Excuse me, sir. Hi. How are you today? Happy Saturday, whatever. Do you know the directions to the get-go gas station? And the person don't even look at you, and they look the other way and just continue doing what they were doing? You think, whoa, maybe they didn't hear me. Excuse me, sir. Do you know the directions to the get-go gas station? I need to get, you know. And they don't respond to you? See, something inside of me about that moment, it's that carnal man will rise up and say, excuse me, I'm about to cold cock you one right upside the head. Don't act like you didn't hear me. I know you heard me. Now tell me where the gas station is. I don't know about you, but that's kind of where that's my old man. That old man's dead. Glory to God. Let's bury him, you know, no problem. But notice something. He answered her not a word. And then the disciples said, send her away. Here's the attack on her thinking. She had to conquer the test of patience when all she heard was divine silence. She had to conquer the test of doubt when they said to send her away. She knew that if she could come to the Son of David, her daughter could be made well. But now she had to conquer the test of doubt because they were about to send her away. In verse 24, Jesus said, "I was sent to Israel." She had to conquer the test of rejection. Moms, you've got to get in touch with your heart and not allow circumstances and evidence in the natural and life's lies to talk you out of your assignment. To know that God is who He said He was. And in verse 26, if that wasn't enough, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. Now right there, we'd have been fighting. Call me a dog. That's a true dog you out statement. That's where that came from. But the facts are, she would not brood over those lies. She would not allow herself to bring to life, hatch, or give birth to the inconsistencies of what she knew the Word of God was to declare.
You know, we're all jars. The Bible talks about a story of a lady that brought her jar to Jesus and poured it over Jesus' head, and all of around her, they were indignant. What are you wasting that for? That is a whole year's wages for a man's wages. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone." We've got to get to the point where what our life, we're a jar, we are filled with whatever we're filled with. We were born crying, we were born screaming, we were born with a carnal nature, things that we have to apply God's word to resist. Our life is a life of resistance. So in that jar, what she did, which is revelational to me, she took that jar, because we know her background. We know where that money came from. It wasn't from a good place. But she took even the mistakes that she made. We might sit here and think, "Well, you don't know what I've done. I deserve this," whatever. It doesn't matter, because she took her good and her bad and she gave it to Jesus because she knew He wanted it. She knew He could handle it. She turned it into a worship tool for Him. Wherever you've come from, whatever you've gone through, you are a jar, and something has filled it up. Maybe something was forced down into your jar, or you've allowed life's lies to come into your jar. We have to say, "Lord, just take it out. Take it out. I pour it on to You. I give it to You." And it's an anointing on Jesus' head, because that's how much He loves us. I'm amazed at this woman from Tyre, that she saw something in Jesus that was love. It was so much love and so much trust that she was able to break through all those barriers. Wow. We hear the gospel every single week. We can turn on the radio. We can get into our phones. And yet sometimes we doubt His love for us. We've got to comprehend His love and replace the lies of the enemy so we can walk in the joy and the peace that He has for us. You know, scientists have looked at the heart as a muscle that pumps. And that's all it did. It just pumps. And the brain was was the control center that told our bodies what to do. You know, they're finding out now, they've found out now that there's 40,000 cells, nerve cells, that are in the brain that cause it to think. And now they know that there are 40,000 or more nerve cells in the heart that cause it to think. That's why the Bible has been true all along, that says to put your mind, renew your mind, and listen to the whispers of your heart. Because there are times when something, life stress happens, and when you do feel like punching somebody or slapping your child or quitting your job or doing whatever you have to do or walk out of a relationship, you say, "No, I'm getting in that quiet place and I'm going to listen to the whispers of my heart. I'm going to let my heart rule me and not my mind rule me." And that's where I have a great illustration. April and Cree, would you stand up for a second? Everybody knows all my kids. Louie's on the end. That's our youngest son. April's our middle daughter. We have Mary and we have Rebecca. Rebecca's always in kids' church and Mary does youth. But April's a flight attendant, so she doesn't attend church all the time. So this is April and this is her husband, Creed. So you got to meet them. Now that I brownied him up, you guys can sit down, I'm going to talk about their daughter. Lancy is 3 years old, and she is such a sweetheart, but You know, with boys, I had 7 brothers, so I know about survival of the fittest. Well, she's got 2 brothers, and she knows about survival of the fittest, older brothers. And so when she would come over, and we would bake, and we would do things, she would be like, give it to me. No, I'm first. No, I'm, you know, really uptight. And so we would have to train her and say, Lindsay, slow,
quiet,
easy. And so she would try it, and she would get it. And so we'd come on, slow,
quiet, easy.
So she would calm down. Mm-hmm. And that's how we are at times. We need to calm ourselves down. Listen to the whispers of our heart. No matter what, if you're in the world where we have to survive, Jesus will make us survive. He said he's given us abundant life, a joyful life. He said, as far as joy and peace goes, let not your heart be troubled.
That's right.
We have to do that. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Quiet, slow, and easy. Because God has a wonderful, powerful plan for our life. This pump is more than a pump.
Yeah.
It is to be obeyed.
You know, Tina has this illustration, and I'll share it real quickly with you. It's about a clockmaker who had, I don't know, hundreds of clocks in his shop, and he set them at all different times and had one huge father-grandfather clock in there as well. And when he went to bed, they were all different times. When he woke up the next morning, all the clocks, the smaller clocks, had synchronized their time to the large grandfather clock. He thought, this is weird. So he tried it again a second night, and guess what? Same results. All the little clocks synchronized their time to the large grandfather clock. In other words, the magnetic pull of the large clock,
5,000 times more,
5,000 times stronger,
any other system in the
was
body.
Able to synchronize all that was around it into its own heartbeat. And so what Tina's saying is our hearts, quiet, slow, easy, listen to the voice of God, that heart can synchronize all of the circumstances around you to the very will of God that is inside of you. That is a very powerful truth. And that's what happened to this woman in Canaan, because she would not be refused. In verse 25 of that story, she says 3 words that are powerful. She says, Lord, help me. Say that with me. Lord, help me. Now, what do you think is the most important word in that little phrase? Me? Help? Lord. What was she saying? She was synchronizing her circumstances. When she said, Lord, she said out of her heart, my mind is telling me I'm rejected. I'm anonymous. I have a barrier of my gender. I have a refusal and a rejection by the disciples. But my heart is telling me different. So she declared, Lord, help me. She was actually saying to Jesus, you're the grandfather clock in this room. I acknowledge you as the controller of my life, the controller of my circumstances and situations. And when she declared that, everything changed. April was helping me just yesterday or the day before move some furniture. And moving, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. We'll be married 42 years, and we've moved so many times. And I thought the last move was the last move. Now I think this is the last move. But we've downsized into a 1-bedroom apartment, just about 800 square feet. I mean, it's just real easy, you know, 2 rooms. You clean that one, I got this one. But we were moving some furniture. And no doubt, Lindsay was in that car seat for about an hour and a half. I don't know, hour, 20 minutes. Well, that night, she was scheduled to go with her mom on a girls' night out to a ballet. And prior to the ballet, they were going to give their makeup, put on, you know, princess dress and do her hair and all those kind of things. And earlier that day, before we actually left to go move the furniture, she made me sit down on the carpet and she said, put my makeup on. I said, okay, I got it. So I pretended, and I was putting on her makeup and her lipstick. And then she said, my eyes. And so I had to put her eyes. It's my hair. So I had to do her hair. Then she takes her shoes off and hands me her shoes and says, put on my princess slippers. Isn't that cool? So I'm putting on the princess slippers. I said, this is going to be so much fun. Well, okay, during the move, she's in the car seat. Circumstances were uncomfortable for her. So she begins to scream, Mom! 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 Whatever. I don't even know what you said. Do you remember what she was saying? Just trying to get your attention. And so April kept saying, in a minute. Mom will be right there in a minute. We're almost done. We're going to go see the princess. We're going to see the princess. And I thought, I've got to speak to her heart. So I walked into the car, and she was screaming, and I looked over, and I said, are you going to go see a princess and put on makeup and shoes and a dress and see the girls dance at ballet? She immediately stopped and synchronized to my heart. And she had peace, and she goes, uh-huh. I said, I am so excited for you. Can Papa come? No, it's for girls, Papa. It's a simple truth, but it's powerfully displayed for us in the story of the woman of Canaan, because she says something very profound in verse 27. Because when she said, Lord, help me, she worshiped him. Like Tina said with the woman with the alabaster box, she took what she had and she poured it out on Jesus. Other people may not agree with your pouring out on Jesus and the content of your bottle, but Jesus is delighted. She begins to worship him, and in verse 27, she says this, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. At that point, Jesus was in the palm of her hand. She had synchronized the word of God in her heart because she listened to her heart and not her head. At any moment along that journey, she could have lost what she came for. She could have missed God. But the Bible tells us that her daughter was healed for the very reason she came. And the only reason why the daughter was healed is because she allowed her heart to fall. Follow her heart and not her head.
Praise God. Amen. It's dangerous to think that we, no matter how long we've been in the faith, to think that we can start our day without Jesus.
That's right.
Because what happens in that day, things start getting stuffed and stuffed, and we become more toxic and more toxic and more toxic. And then it becomes hard to even see it and understand it, what's going on. There's a story of a man that he was raised in a cold, his father was a pastor, but he was raised in a cold, rule-oriented, tough environment that, you know, you obey these rules and you do what you're told to do. Mm-hmm. And he felt an abandonment spirit in him. And as a father, he grew up and he became a pastor as well. And because of this feeling that he had, his children were starting to rebel and he was losing them. And he didn't understand, because he didn't understand the love of God. He took himself away. He put himself in the presence of God. He got alone and he said, God, you've got to do something with me before I lose my kids. And he spent time with the Lord. The Lord softened him. The stuff that was down there for so long, he was completely delivered and healed of it. He came out of that prayer closet, that time spent with the Lord, where he heard the whispers of God's heart to set him free. He was able then to come out in a totally different man. Not ruled anymore by his head, but by his heart, because he heard what the Lord was saying to him. Not what his father said, not what other people said, not what he said to himself, but what the Lord said to him. He came out a different person. Each day, we have to make an intentional work to get the presence of God, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and allow him to bring that from the toxins to the truth that we live in, that will give us the continual feast that he has for us as God's children. Mm-hmm. We live in a society all across the world that live in continual stress. And as a result, there's more sickness and disease in our generation than what we've ever had with all the knowledge that we have, because we don't listen to our heart as Christians, but our head. We need to know that God wants to heal us and fill us with the love of God. He said that he has made us to live in joy and command now our thoughts to line up and synchronize with the truth of God's word. And finally, for me, in Philippians 4:8, it says, I told you, the Lord said, I told you, think on things that are lovely. Mm-hmm. Renew your mind. Mm-hmm. Lovely,
yes.
Pure, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Mm-hmm. Let your mind dwell on these things, which basically, if you had to sum it all up, a grateful heart. A thankful heart. If you have a grateful heart, stress doesn't have the ability to change the strong heart that are in the women that are sitting out here in this congregation.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Woo. Look, if I was at war and I was in a foxhole, I'd want women to be fighting that battle with me. They are awesome. You are awesome. There's a Greek word. It's called S-E-L-I-G, and I want to share this in closing. And it means, I guess the connotation is
silly,
but it means blessed. But you can get the word definition as being silly or happy. And recently I was reading some statistics about happiness. Did you know how many times children laugh in 24 hours? 400 or more. 400. Okay, how many times does an average adult laugh in a day? 20. Okay. You say, well, you're being too silly. There's something about laughter that's good medicine. And so T and I have been trying to do this. We've been trying to laugh more. And it's hard for me because I have a very weird sense of humor. Typical jokes or comedians aren't funny to me. They're like, oh, that was stupid. And everybody else is laughing. I can go to a movie, it's supposed to be a comedy, and everybody in there is like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm sitting there going, shut up, I can't hear the movie. But I'll tell you what is funny to me. Can I tell you what's funny to me? Okay. Can I tell them? Okay. It was not long ago. It was the middle of the night, and Tina got out of bed, and she was heading down the hallway, right? And the door was half closed. So the edge of the door was facing her as she was walking through the darkness. That's funny to
me. I'm glad he's being healed this morning. Yay.
It's funny. And she ran into that thing. And a big boom. And after I asked, are you okay?
No, he didn't ask
I
that
did
first.
So.
He laughed first.
I said, are you okay? I said it though while I was laughing. I went, are you okay? I laughed so hard, my stomach hurt. The next morning, she got this little knocker on her head, you know. And every time I looked at it, I went, so I always look for opportunities for her to give me a belly laugh. And, you know, laughter is good medicine.
That isn't sarcasm, and that's not the kind of humor that where you put people down.
No, don't
that's
put people
down. That's
not
funny. No. That's not even healing,
that's not what
actually
we're talking about.
That's
here.
Emotionally damaging, not the door thing. He can laugh at me with that. I laugh at him if he falls or does something stupid, too, which is often.
Why are you all clapping?
Quiet, slow, easy. It works for adults too.
Sometimes I get all riled up just so she'll do that. She'll come up to me and say, quiet, slow, easy. You know, sometimes we just have to look at each other and go, settle, settle. Because
I don't like that word when he says that to me, though. That's, to me, that is, I interpret that my perception, that even though it might be 10% and
turn
I'm 90 off. No, don't turn the mic off. I don't like that word because when he says settle, he's telling me, shut up. That's how I perceive it.
That is not true. You know, this service has gone the wrong direction. I don't know how we got here, but I think the best way to get out of it is go back to the scriptures. I want to say, really, to all the mothers, great is your faith. And I mean that with all sincerity. Because that's what this woman of Canaan heard from Jesus. Great is your faith. Because she solicited from Jesus the very same thing you're soliciting, and that is great commendation, great approval, and a great granted miracle. So in the days ahead as a mom, try to filter out all of the thoughts that bombard, knowing that the enemy is wanting you to sit on the egg of evil and bring it to life and then having to nurture it. Recognize that your heart tells you the truth and follow that and have a continual feast in Jesus. And I know that that victory will come in our lives. All of us have had to overcome various barriers in our life, whether it's rejection or doubt or adversity, doesn't matter, anonymity. We've all had to overcome that. But when we keep the main thing, it helps us to chart our course and be undaunted to the right or the left and have a continual feast in Jesus. And let's learn to laugh a little bit more, okay? Would you like to stand with me, please? Tina, would you pray for all the moms this morning?
I thank you, Father, that your word is true. I thank you that you are hope. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can cast all of our cares upon you today. We celebrate the mothers here, Father. We know that you celebrate the life of each lady. You know us intimately, Lord. You know our pain. You know our background. And right now we choose to pour out our jar of costly, very, very costly perfume. Our life's everything that we think and everything that we feel, the issues of life, we pour them out right now upon you, Father. And we desire to anoint your head. We desire to fall in love with you again today. We desire to know you better, Lord, face to face. And we desire today to calm our spirits and to rest in your presence, to seek your face, Father, to commit to seek your face, to protect our households, to protect the future of our families because of our calm, loving, strong heart, Father. With the love of God and the truth of your word, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Heal the hearts of every one of your precious daughters in Jesus' name. Amen.
And while our heads are bowed, you might be here today and have been so tormented by life's circumstances and haven't been able to find that secret place of abiding in Christ. You don't even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But before you go, you'd like to come in acquaintance or relationship and really give your life to Him, to receive Him as your Lord, as she called Him, controller. God, I'm going to get out of control and put you in control because I know you have my best interest in mind. And if that's you this morning, we want to pray with you. So in just a few moments, soon as the service concludes, there'll be people up here around the front of the altar that are going to be ready to agree and pray about your spiritual journey in Christ. So before you go out of the door, please take opportunity to come to the altar and to have an encounter with the God that loves you so much. People may have told you that you don't really have enough to give. You don't really match the requirement. You You maybe are too anonymous, maybe been rejected too much in your life, but you know, those are not truths. Those are lies. And God is here waiting today for a great plan for your life, and we'd love the opportunity to pray with you. So if we can ask our prayer partners to come to the front here, and I'm just going to ask, if you want prayer for anything in your life before you leave today, come and let us agree. Prayer is very powerful. Get two people agreeing on anything, touching heaven, it shall be done.
And remember, your mom, tell her.
Yeah, tell mom. Tell mom how much you love her, how much you appreciate her nurturing and touch, and how much her words mean to you. You know, there's no perfect mother, but there's always the opportunity to be a perfect daughter or son. It'd be great. Amen. On your way out today, we're asking for you to help us send our Joshua kids to camp. We really are asking people that can to sponsor a child for $200 for the entire week. We've got 50 children at risk who need a week away out of chaos into calm. And that's why we've done it now for 22 years. This year, we are $10,000 short of being able to underwrite the entirety of the program. So I'm going to ask you if you would be so kind to give an offering toward that end, large or small. Everything would really contribute and help. So our ushers will be at the door. And if you would, just make the check to CNC. We really do appreciate our opportunity to be with you today. Enjoy the rest of your day with your moms. And remember that God loves you very much, and so do we. Thanks for hanging out. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on Wednesday night.